Let's welcome to the show here Barrett Slee of CBSSports.com. He covers college football. And Barrett, you had your overreaction column. What should be the proper reaction to the Tennessee quarterback position, Joe Milton joining the competition this summer and in August when they resume practice? What should we be saying right now, do you think, with that position at Tennessee?
Well, yeah, Josh, in the overreaction story, which a lot of people just ignored the word overreactions and just thought they were actual takes, but I said Tennessee has the best quarterback room in the SEC, which is not actually true, but it does, to me anyway, indicate just how solid and how many options Josh Heupel has. It's the most stable in the sense that you've got three guys who have started games and to various degrees had success. And so, you know, because of that, it gives Josh Heupel plenty of options to say, all right, look, you guys go win the job. Who's going to get it done? And all three of those guys sort of excel in different ways. So it allows him to sort of tailor his offense in a variety of different ways, not only just for a starter, but also if somebody else comes in, if one of the other guys comes in, you can basically have a whole new look. So I think Tennessee fans should look at their quarterback situation and be confident that it's not going to suck, basically, which I think is a fair way to look at it. And I think at the very least, you know, it's going to be a position for, in terms of the SEC, that you're not going to look at as a liability.
You know, Barrett, with Joe Milton being added into the fold basically now and not going through spring, it looks like, you know, camp will kind of be wide open. How long does this quarterback battle last? Is this something they firmly decide on at the end of fall camp and you ride with one starter as long as you can through the season? Is this going to be a work in progress week to week? How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I think they're going to have a decision made. I think that Josh Heupel, because there are, you know, three guys and you at least want to have two on the roster and one not have mass exodus, and the fact that you want to keep it a little bit of a mystery, you know, to your opponents, I think it's going to go to the start of the season, but I do think there will already be a decision made, you know, on who that guy is. And Josh, he's done both as a head and assistant. He's operated in different ways, but I do think that they'll have a really, really good idea who the number one is. They'll have a depth chart set, but I don't think you're going to know about it until the first game, because I mean, honestly, you want to have multiple options and you want to be able to run multiple offenses. And like I said, both of those, like all three of those guys, you know, operate in different ways.
We're talking to Barrett Slee of CBSSports.com. Barrett, have you enjoyed the offseason kind of back and forth between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, with Lane Kiffin also getting involved via Twitter?
Yeah, man, it feels normal, right? Like, it feels like now that we have the Booster Club circuit back, we've got you know, opportunities for coaches to forget that there always is a microphone, always at those things. So while you're saying things like Jimbo said, like you're going to beat Nick Saban, you know, that's what your boosters want to hear. They're the ones who pay your salary. They're the ones who you need to keep happy. But there's also a negative side to that. And Jimbo found that out. But honestly, like, I think all these guys, especially Jimbo and Nick, you know, all of them have good relationships for the most part now. They didn't used to in the SEC, but now they do. You know, so they'll have good-natured jabs and have some fun. And look, hey, it's content, right? Like, we all want content. And look, if Jimbo follows through on his proclamation, then I think we're all in for a really good fall football season, especially in the SEC West.
Has that gap closed between Alabama and Texas A&M? I mean, how far away is Jimbo from really pushing the tide to win the West?
I don't think it's closed that much. I think that from a talent level, Texas A&M has gotten better. So I guess, by virtue of that, you know, it shrunk a little bit, but the problem is Alabama's still accumulating, you know, even more depth and still has the ability to send more players to the NFL and develop players in a way that no other school can. So it has, I guess, gotten a little bit closer since Texas A&M has recruited at a much higher level than it did when Kevin Sumlin was there, but I still think it's a pretty significant gap. That's not to say that Texas A&M is not going to beat Alabama. It could happen, but I think right now in terms of overall program sustainability, you're looking at a pretty significant gap between, you know, the best team in college football and a, I wouldn't say upstart Texas A&M team, but a team that has to have pretty much all its chips fall into place to at least be relevant.
Barrett, what have you thought of the latest conversations with name, image, likeness this week, including Alabama's Advantage program that it announced, the bill signed there in Georgia, at the University of Georgia, by the way, and everything else that's taken place in conversation the last 7 days?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of these states are feeling the pressure because they understand just how important keeping a great college football team or teams is. It's beneficial to your state universities. It's obviously beneficial for jobs, all that stuff. The SEC, I think, is sort of leading the charge, recognizing, hey, you know what, we need this. We need you need to have the ability to continue to attract the top talent in college football. So, you've seen the sense of urgency sort of pick up. Alabama's really, really came out of nowhere. Georgia's, I did too, I guess. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, that push was made here. So, I think the SEC schools recognize that the viability and sustainability of universities really depends on, and whole towns depends on healthy football programs, and the leaders understand that, you know, you got to recruit. They understand how the game's played and how you build a successful program, which is good. And I think like having a guy, you know, like Brian Kemp, who grew up in Athens and first started his business in Athens as a contractor, he knows full well, how relevant and how important that is, not just to the school, but also, you know, the surrounding areas.
Man, I think you bring up, that is such a sharp point, Barrett, because that's one we really hadn't discussed, but we've seen it firsthand here in Knoxville, the economic impact of having a good football team versus a meh football team that maybe people just aren't interested in. I mean, it's night and day different how people spend money when football is good.
Yeah, no doubt. It's even last year with, you know, the stadium capacities reduced, that has a massive, massive impact on not just the school, but surrounding areas, hotels, restaurants, all that stuff. And to sort of extrapolate on that, if you have a team that can sell out a stadium every single week and force people to stay there all weekend, that's jobs. That's what it's all about. So it is, I think the governors in the Southeast, and it's not just the SEC, you know, I think obviously Florida State, Clemson, those schools are involved too, but, they understand how this works. I don't necessarily think the same sort of approach would be made in states where football is not that important, where you don't have that kind of passion, because it just doesn't have the same economic impact.
Barrett, on the way out, I had a friend ask me last night, have the Braves fixed some of their pitching woes? What would be your answer?
If Huskarino is going to be the best hitting pitcher in all of baseball, then I think that'll certainly help. Now he's got a pinch hitter all the time. But I think they're fine. Get Soroka back. Ian Anderson's been solid. Obviously with what getting Fried back is huge. So, yeah, I think they're doing all right, man. As long as Huskarino is doing what he's doing, then I think they're all right, especially if Soroka comes back. And, you know, the fifth spot in the rotation is the fifth spot in the rotation. It's not going to be consistent no matter who you are.
Do you think Shohei Ohtani watches, you know, film to improve at the plate?
He should. He should. You know, like that was a bomb to center a few days ago. I mean,
the Grand
that
Slam,
ball
yep.
was murdered.
Yeah, very proud. What's going on at CBSSports.com right now?
Well, the overreactions continue. We had Big Ten yesterday. We have Pac-12 today. We also have staff picks on who will be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. And we all have different answers. I am fully aboard the Sam Howell hype train, but that goes up today as well as anything else that breaks over the next couple of days.
We don't know who Sam Howell is. So can you give me some background there, Barrett? No,
a sensitive name to Tennessee fans at times. A sensitive name based on Jeremy Pruitt's recruiting approach. Yeah, he's a good player. Very good player for North Carolina.
It's funny how we're talking about quarterback issues, and then, you know, you see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go check out the work, CBSSports.com. Yeah. Hey, Barrett, have a great weekend. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, see y'all.